The Supreme Court today allowed a near total ban on abortion in Texas to stand, but the justices also said abortion providers could continue their lawsuit to overturn it.
Also in the news today, the Labor Department reported the highest inflation this country has seen in nearly four decades, and a court ordered the former president, Donald Trump, to turn over records from January 6th, the day his supporters stormed the Capitol. Let's get to our Friday Politics Roundtable. We've got Margaret Talov, Axios Managing Editor, and Eugene Daniels, Politico White House correspondent and co-author of Politico's Playbook. Welcome to you both. Good to speak with you.
Hi, Peter. Good to speak with you, too.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hi there. So first to the Texas abortion law, which bans the procedure after about 6 weeks. Margaret, what does it tell you that the Supreme Court didn't block the part of the law that allows private citizens anywhere in the country to enforce it by suing abortion providers?
Yeah, I mean, this is really, it is a very interesting verdict because it is a mixed verdict. As you say, it allows the law to continue, at least for now, while this proceeds. On the other hand, it didn't shut down the avenue for proponents of abortion rights. There are two other things to watch at the same time, though. And one is that a lot of activists on both sides of this issue feel that this case out of Mississippi that is more of an outright challenge to Roe v. Wade and attaches to 15 weeks, that is really going to be probably the case where the modern future of abortion rights are decided. And that's a decision that could come between probably closer to June, folks think. And then the final piece is what Chief Justice Roberts himself kind of calls out in this case, which is whether the Texas law is an effort to do an end around and undercut ultimately the role of the U.S. Supreme Court itself. So there is a lot packed into here. But if you are an American woman who feels that this is an important personal or health care right, you don't care about any of that stuff. You want to know how this is going to affect you. For now, if you were in Texas, this law continues while it is challenged.
Yeah. And Eugene, of course, this is quite political. Montana Senator Steve Daines, a Republican, tweeted today that the law is saving countless lives each day that it stays into effect. Our fight to protect all life, no matter how small, is only just beginning. And also on the other side, California Congresswoman Judy Chu, a Democrat, she said on Twitter that Texas women have little to no access to safe abortion care. We can't wait for the Supreme Court to affirm our right to make choices about our own bodies. She also went on to call for federal legislation to guarantee a woman's right to a legal abortion. Is that just a complete non-starter, considering the makeup of Congress right now?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right, is that that is basically a non-starter. There is, you know, a push and is a push every time that it seems like Roe itself is in danger to codify Roe into law. There's something that has already passed the House that would do something similar to that. And I think that is where, you know, you have Democrats putting a lot of their hopes. But we know that in the Senate, we've talked about this with every single issue that's popped up since January, is that they don't have the votes in the Senate to do so. And so they have to depend on what the Supreme Court is going to do and say on Roe overall and also on SB8 here. And that's the thing that is frustrating for abortion advocates, because they've been calling for the codifying of Roe for a very long time. And even when Democrats had the votes to do so, they didn't do that.
It certainly raises the stakes. Yeah, yeah, politically, though, right? I mean, so I was going to say, like, 2022 is a big midterm year. What is going to be the issue that drives voters on the ballot? Up until now, we have thought, once upon a time, very quaintly, everyone thought it would be COVID. Now it will be the economic repercussions of COVID. If this all comes to a head sometime around June with a bigger Supreme Court ruling, you can bet that at least for a segment of American voters, women voters, suburban voters, voters of a certain age, abortion will then become a driving issue. And some Republicans are actually quite worried about that. Some Democrats are, I'm going to put this in quotes, excited about it. I think for most for most Democrats, like they see they have very little and waning power to protect this right. Longstanding right for women, but if you were going to lose it, 5 months before a pivotal election would be certainly a poignant time to try to turn out voters. So the politics of this and the real life implications are going to totally mix in the months to come, and it's going to be quite an explosive issue.
Yeah, we'll definitely be watching for that. I want to ask you about another big issue that we are that's in the news right now, and that's January 6th. We're coming on the year anniversary of the insurrection. A federal court ruled against former President Trump yesterday. He had wanted to stop congressional investigators from getting records of what he did, said, and wrote on that day. His supporters attacked the Capitol while Congress was certifying the election last January. Eugene, do you think his records will get to Congress?
I mean, it's possible, right? He the ruling gave him 2 weeks to try to delay the effect of the ruling, meaning he needs the Supreme Court to intervene and slow down this decision before Christmas. And so if that is not to happen, the assumption is that these documents would go to the January 6th commission. And, you know, what's really interesting in this ruling was the judges continue to emphasize that Congress and the sitting president agree on the national security urgency of the investigation. And that's key because Donald Trump has been trying to use executive privilege as the reason that documents shouldn't go to the committee, why folks shouldn't talk to the committee, as if that continues after you're president. And that's a question that we may get answered, especially if the Supreme Court were to take this up. And I think that's something for folks to watch over the next couple of weeks. And also in the ruling, they talked about and tied a direct link between President Trump, former President Trump, and January 6th, which is something that Democrats have been talking about a lot, about the who that, you know, he was there that day, that for months he lied about the election, and that's what caused January 6th, and that was also in the ruling.
Well, Margaret, you weigh in here, too. I mean, what impact will those records, you think, have on the investigation? The January 6th committee has been really active. Members have subpoenaed more than 40 people, and I think interviewed more than 250 people so far.
Yeah, I think the implications of where this ends up, where the courts ultimately weigh in on this, are twofold. One, obviously, is it impacts what the January 6th committee can do and what it can demand. And as a result, sort of what sort of a timeline it can build, what sort of a connection between the president and his advisors and kind of the Steve Bannon part of the circle and individual congressmen and activists from these groups, how do they connect the dots formally for an investigation? And then on a parallel front, the decision absolutely impacts a precedent on presidential powers, executive powers, how much secrecy or privacy or transparency attaches to a president when they leave office. So the rulings are ultimately going to be really important on two fronts. And I think, look, it's very easy as a shortcut to look at the district court, the D.C. circuit, and which judges are democratically appointed, and then look at the Supreme Court and say, look how many of these are Republican nominees and how many were named by Trump himself. But the Supreme Court justices who came on in the Trump administration, these were jurists and institutionalists long before Donald Trump was a twinkle in the eye of any presidential speculator. And these are cases of major constitutional significance for the United States. I think the courts so far have moved very swiftly, and the Biden administration and the sort of wheels of those institutions have moved very swiftly to challenge and say, President Trump is not governed by his own idea of, presidential privacy or presidential secrecy. We'll see how fast the wheels turn at the next levels. But I think this could have major implications for the power of future presidents as well as for the January 6th committee.
And Eugene, just real briefly, because I do want to move on to the economy real quick. But the January 6th committee intends to hold the former Trump chief of staff, Mark Meadows, in contempt of court for basically saying he's not going to show up or hand over documents. Do you think that will make a difference, though? I mean, in other words, the committee is already, as Tanya said, interviewed more than 250 people. You know, how much do they need these high profile folks who are making a show by not showing up?
Yeah, I mean, with Mark Meadows, they want Mark Meadows because he was the chief of staff to Trump at the time, right? There was almost no one who probably talked to Trump more or was around Trump more on January 6th. They've already gotten some documents and information from him, according to Liz Cheney, who's the vice chair on that committee. And so he was working with them. And I think what's more likely to kind of change that aspect of it is whether or not the his argument of executive privilege from a president who is no longer president stands. And if that doesn't, if that goes away from some court case, then he has almost no leg to stand on. Then he does have to. And that, I think that's more interesting and more important than the idea of him, the contempt of Congress charge.
Margaret, in 20 seconds, give us some insights on this inflation report that we got today. It's not looking good for the White House.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, there are two sets of numbers you should keep watching. One is CPI, one is unemployment numbers, and the third is President Biden's approval rating. There are still a lot of people in American business and American industry who do believe that inflation is short term. But for voters, for a 2022 cycle, this is really difficult for an American president.
Margaret Talov at Axios, Eugene Daniels at Politico. Thank you so much.